the following purgatory mystic had so many souls in purgatory come to seek her prayers that they would come in droves at night and she would have sleepless nights. Then her superior tries to intervene and that didn't go so well. You need to hear about that. Then finally, her spiritual director dies and appears to her. And he had this one fault that you and I probably also have that kept him in purgatory for a much longer time than he needed to be. We're going to talk about all this in today's video. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Now, the purgatory mystic's name is Blessed Mary Crescentia Haas. Here's her story. Consequently, every day she did what she could to help them. She said many fervent prayers, practiced severe works of penance, and offered up her sufferings for them. In a word, like the widow in the gospel, she threw the whole of her property, her entire living, that is, all her works of satisfaction for temporal punishment due to sins, into the treasury of the church in favor of those who have to pay their debts to the last farthing in the other world. She also recommended the practice to others, especially to her sisters in religion. Many were induced by her not only to perform many good works with this intention, but to give to the poor souls whatever they had acquired as a satisfaction to offer to God for the payment of their temporal penalties for sin. This heroic act of love, which, as is well known, has of late been recommended by the Holy See and enriched with special indulgences, she practiced in preference to all others. Even on her deathbed, as her confessor, Father Palmer, relates, appointed the suffering souls as her universal heirs and willed to them not only her past good works, as far as they were competent to discharge temporal debts for sin, but also all the holy masses, prayers, and indulgences which others might offer up for her after her death. Such love naturally evoked reciprocal love and served to knit more closely the ties of love which the Spirit of Christ has in a mysterious manner cast around his living members, thereby elevating their intercourse in an extraordinary manner to a full consciousness of their mutual bearing. We must first remark that Crescentia, on her side, believed that she had many times received help from the poor souls in purgatory when she had prayed to them. She acknowledged that when she desired a peculiarly great favor from God for herself or others, she also invoked the beloved poor souls, as she called them, and that then her prayers were usually answered at once. She entertained the conviction, which is now almost universal among Catholic people, that the souls in purgatory who can no longer merit anything for themselves can show their love effectively by praying for the members of the church militant. Moreover, by permission of God, such souls often appear to her detailing their sufferings and appealing to her for help. Her compassion was in this way increased beyond measure. She could not allow herself to rest until she had obtained for them either relief or deliverance. Souls thus liberated often returned to her in great glory to thank her and to let her, who had had such compassion on their sufferings, participate in some degree in their present joy. It can scarcely be told that what hard sacrifices were laid on the servant of God by this frequent intercourse with the souls in purgatory. Her night's rest, already so short, was in this way often completely taken from her. Scarcely had she gone to sleep when she was awakened by the groans or speech of such a soul, after which sleep was no longer to be thought of, she had to pray or to chastise her innocent body. It was the general conviction of those who knew her and her interior life that she had brought effective assistance to a great many souls. We gather from our sources of information some instances which will cast a light on this intercourse and are to a great extent deserving of attention. In 1718, Mother Joanna Altwerger asked Crescentia, when she was very sick, whether she could sleep. She said she could not, and on being further questioned, acknowledged that the poor souls appeared to her and that their moaning and groaning and urgent prayers rendered sleep impossible. The compassionate superior thought that she must now interfere and said, "You must have rest, absolutely, else you cannot stand it in the long run. So if the poor souls return tonight, tell them to go to the mother. Obedience now requires that you should sleep." The servant of God punctually obeyed, but the poor mother no sooner saw and heard these apparitions in her own cell than, struck with fear and terror, she could find no other escape than to send them again to the good sick sister. She herself told this occurrence on the next day to several sisters. Some of them bore witness to it in the canonical process, and she added that she would never again during her life would make a similar attempt. Impressive that her superior mother couldn't handle and said, go back, never mind, I recant what I told her. Now listen what happened when her superior appeared to her. It is told that on October 19, 1716, the Jesuit father Ignatius Wagner, who had interviewed and directed the Blessed for 2 years, died in Regensburg. The news of his death reached the Franciscan monastery of Kaufenbeuren on October 21st. Yet on the day of the Jesuit's death, Crescenthia, when going to the choir at the sound of the Angelus, saw a white ghost in front of her. She was used to similar visions since the souls of purgatory appeared to her in that form. For this reason, she immediately started to pray for that soul, even if she didn't understand who he was. The apparition repeated on October 21st, but that time, Crescenthia recognized that it was the soul of her spiritual director. He told her that he needed her prayers to reach the vision of God, which had been delayed to him because in life he didn't desire it enough. All this caused great torments to that soul. The Blessed prayed for him and offered to God many supplications. On October 23rd, after having participated in the memorial mass for the deceased, she saw his transfigured soul thanking her for the prayers offered and announcing that he was in heaven. A few things we can learn about this. If you ever want to have the souls in purgatory appear to you while you're sleeping, now this may be pretty obvious, you may want to rethink this because it may cause a lot of fright and terror. You may regret that as what happened to her superior. So this is a favor that we should tread lightly before we ask the Lord. And one defect that we should correct is our poor desire for heaven. We need to develop this gift, this virtue. We should strive to desire heaven as much as is possible. In fact, in some other places I've read that this is one of the greatest defects because it's the final thing that we should have towards the end of our life. We should desire heaven so much. We should want to be there. This is a supernatural grace that we should develop over time, and we need to ask above all the souls in purgatory, because this is their greatest torment. And presumably it's their greatest torment because it's the last thing that they didn't do on earth. So whereas here on earth, it could be our greatest reward to desire heaven. Incredibly, it will cause you pain, but we need to have this. But if we have this, this can help us when we die, go straight into heaven, because the good God, the merciful Lord, will fulfill our desire. But if we have not had this desire sufficiently, as our spiritual director teaches us, then it will become our suffering when we're in purgatory. Blessed Crescenthia Haas, pray for us. My friends, if this video has helped you in any way, please subscribe and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.